Okay. Thank you, Lord, so much for your mercy and your goodness to us tonight. Lord, thank you for the power of your word. Lord, we come from all different corners, different needs, Lord, and we're so grateful that it's you that's here to meet those needs now. We ask that you would anoint your word, open our ears. Lord, help us to hear from you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I love camp. I was telling some of the counselor or some of the campers that it wasn't that long ago I was a camper. So I hope you've had a great camp. And you know, I think some of the songs tonight really reiterate that for us. Amazing Grace. Oh, how I love Jesus. Just different songs that we have sung tonight. Tell us about the opportunity that we have tonight. And I didn't really intend to talk about that, but I've had what Webb said, I've been thinking about what Webb said on Monday about the opportunities that we have. It's really stuck with me. I was so grateful for that message. So tonight, why don't you start by turning to the book of Joshua, okay? Joshua 1. So this is probably going to be a little bit different than some of the other nights. That's your warning. But I want you to think for a second, and anybody's welcome to raise their hand and shout it out. But I've got a question for you to start. I want you to think about your most favorite Bible story. If those in the front, those that are young, those that are not so young, you're welcome to jump in too. But if we can maybe take, you know, two or three, tell me, just think about it for a sec. What's your favorite Bible story? And then we're going to give you a chance to tell us what it is. Just think about it for a sec. Someone raise their hand. Okay, David?
Prodigal son.
Prodigal son, he said. Okay, someone else? Harrison.
Noah's Ark.
Others? Lori.
Rebecca.
Okay. Afia?
Esther.
Man, we got a good cross section. All right, last one. Aaron.
Hebrew children.
Wonderful. So I think there's this tendency as we think about the opportunities that the Lord has afforded us to... That was going to be exciting. There's this temptation to think that there's a removal of... Is this on too? I think I'm getting a little feedback. We think about these Bible stories that are our favorites, and sometimes there's this sense of removal from them, that that's this story, and I don't necessarily see how the Lord is working in my life. I don't see the connection. It's easy to see, especially in the seats that we sit in, and think about, well, that was Esther. Well, that was David. Well, that was the prodigal son. And we don't always see that the Lord is writing our story. And we don't necessarily see when we're sitting in the seats at camp that the opportunities that are presented to us are just for us. That we're not removed from these stories. That there's, it doesn't matter if you've come in from another state. I know full well, and I am one that kind of dives right in. I'm going to get right into it. I don't know how much time we have. So I'm going to speak to you as directly as I know how to. I don't know what your religious background is. I don't know what your denominational affiliation is. And you know what? It doesn't really matter. Because the Lord is here to meet your need. If you've never been to a church camp, the Lord is here to meet your need. If you've never heard a Bible story, you couldn't raise your hand, that's fine. Because the Lord is here to meet your need. Now the thing is oftentimes we take for granted what it is that makes that Bible story real to me. Anybody know what it is that makes that Bible story real to me? It's very simple, so simple sometimes we miss it. It's faith. It's faith. I believe it, Lord. You said it. I believe it. From there to here, it's now real. You know what makes it real? Believing it. So we will begin in Joshua. That's a funny thing about preachers and teachers. It takes them forever to get on track. And then once they're on track, you can't get them off track. So we're going to start somewhere else. All right. You don't have to turn there, but you're welcome to if you want. I'm going to read from Hebrews 3, okay? But we're going to start officially in Joshua. Okay. So I'm reading the very end of Hebrews 3 here. And I'm going to jump right in verse 18. And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Let us therefore, moving into chapter 4, let us therefore, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them. Why? If you know it, you can finish it with me. Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Right? So the writer of Hebrews, which we have every reason to think is Paul, is saying that these promises that were for Israel primarily is what he's speaking of. They were presented with it for 40 plus years. But for most of them, it didn't make the difference that it could have simply because they did not believe. But here we are with an opportunity that I grant you may not fully understand, and that is not a requirement. But opportunities here at camp, opportunities with counselors, opportunities with campers that you trust to talk to you about God's Word. Wonderful opportunities. What if the gospel presented to us as it is right now, all that brings it from there to here is believing it? Let me let the cat out of the bag. That is all that separates what these Bible stories are, the things that I don't quite understand, but I want to, believing it. Amen. Believing it. That's the difference maker. Okay, so let's read Joshua 1. Okay. Start in the very first chapter. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your, I've colored over it, coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. This is what I want you to lean in for. If you haven't yet, come to the edge of your seat. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. So we read these stories oftentimes, and we can have this sense of removal from it. But the Lord will oftentimes put us in a situation as he did with Joshua. So what's the background here? Joshua, in the story of Joshua, he's in a sense picking up from where Moses was. Moses has been leading the children of Israel for 40 plus years. Most of them have now died in the desert. And the Lord has very stern, direct instructions to Joshua. So we have to maybe put ourselves there. If the temptation is to say that was then or that was them, no. This is personal. So the Lord speaks to Joshua. He meets him in a very personal way. Now imagine you're Joshua. You've had the opportunity to, in a sense, live in Moses' shadow. Right? There's this sense of, well, Moses is God's man. Not today. Not for you. It's very personal. Notice what the Lord said to Joshua in verse 2. Very pointedly, it's just the second verse of the chapter. Moses, my servant, is dead. Not a sad time, but a bit scary. Maybe Joshua wasn't really ready for that day. But that's what the Lord presented him with. Moses, my servant, is dead. Joshua, step up. Today's your day. And he gave him several promises that we read here. Therefore, arise. Get up, Joshua. I'm with you. I'm getting ahead of myself. But that's what he said. Arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, into the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. The Lord came to Joshua and said, Joshua, today's your day. This is now to you, right? Maybe he said, oh Lord, I'm not ready. But the Lord said, arise, get over this Jordan. I've made promises. We're going to get into this in a second, but I've made promises for generations and generations and generations, and I will meet them. And Joshua, you're it. I will be with you, Joshua, right? So he goes on in verse 3 and says, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said to Moses. God wants to be faithful to you. He's made many, 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 many promises, presenting you with wonderful opportunities. Again, you don't necessarily need to know them right now to take them. But he's asking us, he's calling us, he's pulling us in to believe him, to take him right at his word. Right? So verse 4 says, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even under the great river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittite, under the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. If you were really to take the Lord, you'd start marching around, right? If you really were to believe the Lord, you'd say, well, I better start stepping, right? The Lord has really given me something. But we go on. Here, verse 5 says, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. Here it is again. As I was with Moses, he gives him three distinct promises. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. The Lord had called Joshua to be a part of something. He'd made promises for generations and generations and generations and generations. And he said, Joshua, today's your day. You're a part of this story now. Right? Ready or not, as I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. I will not fail you. I will not forsake you. I told you I was going to speak directly. I know we're all going through battles. Maybe you got to put them on pause, it feels like, for camp. Fine. Maybe they seem to follow you at camp. Fine. But the Lord is here to meet those needs where you are, however he finds you. He says, I will be with you. I will not fail you. I will not forsake you. So we can go about boldly, just as the Lord instructed Joshua. Arise, go over the Jordan in fulfillment of everything I ever promised. Right? It doesn't matter that you're in fourth grade. It doesn't matter that you're in what would seem to be the sunset of life. The Lord is here to meet your needs. So let us dig just a little bit deeper. In verse 2, he said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Maybe some of the scariest words that you might hear. And yet that's the Lord saying, you know, I appreciate Brother Hawkins. He said this in his studies before, too. He's likened the story of Lot and Abraham. So Lot had an Uncle Abraham. And Lot, too, seemed to get to live a little bit in Uncle Abraham's shadow until a time came that Lot had to essentially stand on his own two feet as well. And I believe that's very much the case for us tonight. The Lord wants, he's very personal. I promise you, if you don't know yet, he's knocking on your door. Knocking on your door. I pray it's for salvation. I pray it's for being filled with the Holy Spirit. And I know it's that you might know the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Yeah. Right? Okay. So he told him every place that your foot were to tread. Those promises. There's promises for us to claim that he's given to us. Okay? As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. That's quite a promise. What would happen if you were to believe that? What kind of power? What kind of power might be in your life if you were to say, yes, Lord, I believe what you said. What happens if the first two nights of camp, some of what you've heard in your classes, you were to really say, well, that's for me. Well, okay, Lord, I take that. Yes, Lord, for me. What if it's you wanting to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Are you wanting to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Are you being somewhere alone and you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? And you were to actually say, yes, Lord, you gave that to me and I can have it. I do believe the Lord would fill you with the Holy Spirit. Right? Sometimes we make this way harder than it needs to be. He's made promises and we need to believe them. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Leads and guides us into all truth, right? Okay. Well, believe it or not, this is kind of God's pattern. He makes promises. He does it a lot. And he completes those promises. Let's look at something else. You're welcome to go with me, but it's going to be kind of quick. Genesis, the book of Genesis is a big book. It covers a lot of different things, but there's four main characters I'm going to point out to you tonight. God's made promises, generational promises, that there's something for us to learn about. Beginning with Abraham, he makes promises to Abraham. Then he makes them to another generation, Isaac. Same promises, he confirmed them. He said something very similar. As I was with your father Abraham, same to you, Isaac. There's another generation, to Jacob. He said, Jacob, as I told your grandpa Abraham and your father Isaac, I'm with you too. I have promises I made to them. I will complete them. Notice the Lord always put the onus on himself. I made promises. What's for us is to believe it, right? To believe it. And we don't prevent the Lord from doing anything other than in my life. I won't let you have your way, Lord. But he's still going to have his way overall, right? Why not join him? Why not let him give you the promises that he gave you? Why not take them? That's all we're really talking about. The devil would love nothing more than for you to think that these Bible stories are removed. That there's something unique about camp that isn't at home. When that's exactly the opposite of what the Lord would have you to know. Camp is very special. If for no other reason, it is so you would see the Lord, meet the Lord, believe the Lord for everything he ever promised you. Amen. Right? Okay. So, Abraham made promises. Isaac made promises to him. Confirmed them to Jacob. And finally, to Joseph. Thankfully, there's a wonderful summary verse that I'll share with you in Genesis 50, if you care to turn there. Once again, a crossroads here. Genesis 50, if you're flipping to it, you'll see it's another ending and another beginning. Genesis 50 ends the book of Genesis, and we look over the page and we go into the book of Exodus, right? So Genesis 50, 24. If you know this story, bear with me as I share a little bit of it, but with those four generations, you have Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, finally down to Joseph, one of Jacob's 12 sons. And Joseph has quite a background of difficulties with his brother, and he finds himself in Egypt, temptation to feel forsaken, very poorly treated, and yet his testimony is, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Amen. Right? And so we find ourselves in verse 24 with Joseph speaking to his brethren. There's a little bit of humor here. I'll take a little side road. This is kind of a funny chapter if you go read it. Because the brothers are a little bit concerned that maybe Joseph is still a little bit angry. Because their father has died. They've been very mean to him. And yet it's a chapter that demonstrates to us, for us, a Bible story that's very personal about the grace of God. Right? So Joseph says here in verse 24, to his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto a land which he swore to who? Abraham. And to Isaac and to Jacob. That's the testimony of Joseph. God will meet every promise he ever made. He put the onus on himself. And at a time when the stress, you might say, could not have been higher for these brothers, this is how Joseph answered them. God will surely visit you.
Amen.
He will bring you out. In my life, maybe like you, I want to put the period there. But did you know the period's not there? There's a comma. I got to talk to somebody about this week. He didn't just bring you out. The out is a means to bring you in. There's an in. We're here to fellowship about the in. The out is actually a pretty short conversation. We're so grateful for what the Lord has done. He brought us out, but we spend the rest of our life learning of what the in is. The in. The in. And lest we think something different, the in is not heaven. The in is right now. Right now. So if you want to sit there in your chair and say, well, that's not for me, you're missing the opportunity. You are missing it. He brought you out that he might bring you in. Joseph told him, you will not stay in Egypt. Egypt reminds us of the world. The Lord has so much more for you than the world has to offer. He wants to take you out of Egypt because he's got a land for you. That's where you're going to know the Lord. That's where you're going to walk with him. That's where you're going to find out who he really is. Not in Egypt, but in the wilderness. This is a promise that he made. He will take you out. He'll bring you out of this land unto a land which he swore unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. God has done something amazing in making promises for which he is the only one that can complete it. We read elsewhere, when we are not faithful, he abides faithful. I promise you, in my flesh, we don't even need to talk about it. You don't want to hear my testimony because it's not a good one, right? But when I testify about who God is and the grace of God and what he's taken me, like I said, short conversation, the out of, the into is what I want to talk about. That's what I want to magnify the grace of God about, is what he's taking me into, what he's taking you into. So lest we be confused, this is not a message for those on the front row, it's for those on the back row as well, right? If at any time we thought, Lord, you're done with me, no, we have another thing. He has another thing for us. So thought this is a pretty spectacular summary that Joseph gives to his brothers. But again, draw your eye over to the page. Either you do or just take my word for it and I'll read it to you. But in Exodus, there's a crossroads here. Just looking over at the page, in Exodus 1:8, we read, now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. Once again, a temptation to say, Lord, now it's over. No, it was just beginning. This is God's way. This is God's way. We had thought maybe, Lord, because there was a change in the Pharaoh. Maybe, Lord, because there's been circumstances in my family that have changed. Maybe there's circumstances in my family that have not changed that I want to change. Maybe there's an excuse that you want to put up before the Lord. But he didn't put any conditions there. He said, I made promises to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob. And if you really look at it, if he were to fail Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he'd fail you. Amen. He's not going to fail you. Amen. He's going to meet every need. Yes, and we just need to believe him. Amen. So, as I said, there's this habit God has of making these promises to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, right? All the way down to Joseph. And it's worth taking a look at Jacob's story. Jacob's is an interesting story. There was a time where Jacob once again had to come out from underneath his father. He fled his father's home, father and mother's home. And you know what? It took him fleeing for him to really know the Lord. Right? So in these circumstances that sometimes the Lord presents us with that seem scary as could be, there's nothing out of order. It's exactly the way he would have it to be. It was only after Jacob left that he came to a place that he called Bethel. Anybody know what Bethel means? It means the house of God. So initially he focuses on the place, names it the house of God. Did you know Jacob came back there at least two more times? The Lord brought him back through there, right? So the first instance is in Genesis 29. He's fleeing from Esau. When he meets God, and they have quite a meeting, you would need to go read it. But he comes back one more time, and this is at a time, well, he is led there at another time. And you know how God drew him back there? He said, Jacob, I am the God of Bethel, comforting him. Reminding him, Jacob, do you remember when I met you at Bethel? I'm still the same God. I'm still the same God, Jacob. Right? So he goes again. And he finally comes a third time. And did you know he changed the name? It became El Bethel. As we walk with the Lord, that relationship deepens. Our understanding of the Lord. You mean you actually care about every detail? Yes. Come meet the God of El Bethel. So El Bethel means God is the God of his house. Right? So he went from putting emphasis on the place to the person. The person at Bethel. And so he no longer had such the affinity. Maybe it's camp for you. Maybe camp is a special place. And if such and such doesn't happen that I want, well, I'll just wait till next year. We're not promised a next year, folks. Right? So we can meet the Lord, the God of El Bethel, anytime, all the time. The focus on God is the God of his house. Letting that be the emphasis. Letting God really have his way in our lives. Right? So I mean to reinforce that God does this thing. He makes promises and he puts us in some difficult situations, just like he did Joshua, just like he did Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Joseph. But that's the only way we come to know the Lord. That is the only way he comes to separate us out from the stuff so that he can meet us on a very individual level, right? So you think then for these times, as we read in Exodus 1:8, scary, scary times. If you think from a historical standpoint, Israel, you can imagine you're the family of, let's say, Moses' family, and you think, surely this is the end of it. It's not. Here's God's answer. We end back in the book of Joshua, where we read in Exodus, there arose a new king, or a new king that knew not Joseph. There is this temptation to think this might be the end of the story. Do you know what God's answer is to that? That temptation? It's in Joshua. We end where we began. In verse 5, he says, I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people thou shalt divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. We don't look at the circumstances, ladies and gentlemen. We look at the God who's promised. He promised, I am with you, as I was with Moses. The temptation is to idolize Moses. Well, Lord, you were with Moses. The Lord addressed that. He said, as I was with Moses, I'll be with you. If you believe that promise, you'll receive the power. Right? I will not fail thee. I will not forsake thee. So that's what I leave you with tonight. Let's pray and be dismissed. For those... Praise you, Lord. So thankful for the confirmation of his word.